Reading and now hearing our gospel passage for today, I'm struck and humbled by the faith and bravery of the woman Jesus encounters in the crowd. After 12 years of suffering, she had every reason to have given up hope. She took huge risks in doing what she did. Within a culture that said that a woman should not be unaccompanied in public, there she was alone, with no one to speak on her behalf. Under a strict shame and honour code that said that a woman must not ask or take, but must wait to receive, she took healing for herself from a man without permission. Under a religious law that said that she was unclean and would defile others by her touch, even by touching another person's clothing, she pushed her way through the crowd, reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' clothes. This lady had guts. She was breaking all the rules. It's no wonder that when Jesus drew everyone's attention to her, she came forward in fear and trembling and fell down at his feet, a rush of words spilling out to plead her case. Jesus could have been angry at the way he'd been interrupted and used. He could have been disgusted at the touch that had made him ritually unclean. He could have scolded her, compounding her shame and making her alienation from society complete. He didn't, thank God. And his words, they're not words of mercy or pity. They're words of admiration. He doesn't say, "I have made you well." He says, "Your faith made you well." Words of empowerment. He calls her daughter, a word of kinship, of affection, of solidarity. He says, "Go in peace and be healed." Words of blessing. Words with which to restore her to community with dignity. This woman's courage comes from her faith. And because of her faithfulness, Jesus holds her up as a shining example. The other characters in our passage, the grumbling disciples, the wavering Jairus, the messengers who say, "Hope is lost, why trouble the teacher any longer?" The paid mourners whose wailing turns to laughing when Jesus says the girl is only sleeping. Amidst all of this skepticism, the woman who has suffered 12 long years shows a faith that is steadfast and strong. A faith that has been galvanized, not eroded, by her suffering. In this respect, she reminds me of my mother. I'd like to tell you a bit about her. My mum was a brilliant mum and a brilliant human being. She was kind and capable and funny. She was a Christian with a deep and uncomplicated faith. She was diagnosed with breast cancer when she was not much older than I am now. She underwent surgery and radiotherapy, and with ongoing treatment, the disease seemed to be held at bay for about 11 years. Then it came back with a vengeance. The next 3 years or so were tough. She had intensive, horrible, debilitating treatments and was in and out of hospital. But the cancer was unstoppable and it spread to her spine and then her liver. My mum's suffering was enormous, almost unbearable to watch. My mum's faith was amazing. I remember coming to visit her in hospital one day to find her telling the other patients in her four-bedded bay about Jesus and the peace that she felt about dying. Her sense of humour was unquenchable. On another visit, when she was really sick, my sisters and I found her seemingly unresponsive, not opening her eyes or speaking. And my sister Izzy said, "I heard two of the nurses outside. They were talking about Mum. They said she's really not looking good." And to our surprise, my mum's voice suddenly piped up without opening her eyes. "What do they mean? I look bloody gorgeous." During the last year or so of her life, my mum kept a sort of journal, and we read it after she died. It is just full of gratitude. On almost every page, she writes her thanks to God. Thanks for the view of a sunset she can see from her bed. Thanks for the friends who visited today. Thanks for the way my dad was taking care of her. Thanks for her daughters and her little grandson. Thanks for answered prayers. In the days immediately following my mum's death, while we were all gathered at my parents' house, sort of stunned and numb with grief, a woman from my mum's church called round to see us. She said that she felt strongly that God had wanted to heal my mum of cancer, and might have done had our faith been stronger. FYI, for anyone doing pastoral visits, that's a pretty insensitive thing to say to a bereaved person. In fact, it's a really confusing and hurtful thing to say. It made me very angry. It raises all those awkward questions about why a God who can heal the sick doesn't cure all disease. Why some prayers seem to go unanswered. Why there is so much suffering. But Jesus' words in today's passage, "Your faith has made you well," aren't a big club for us to beat suffering people over the head with. Jesus spoke those words to lift a suffering person up, not to kick them when they're down. Look at what Jesus does next. He goes and raises a little girl from the dead, despite the fact that no one around him believed it possible. And look at what Jesus actually did for my mum. When I read her journal, it's obvious to me now that she was healed. She was just about the most healed person I've ever had the privilege to know. She was at peace with her life and in her relationships, grateful for everything, steadfast through her suffering, ready to face her death with dignity and courage, confident that she was going to be with Jesus. What does wellness mean if not that? What more could any of us hope for? May each one of us know faith that will carry us through suffering. May we know unconditional love that will carry us through doubt. May we find joy and gratitude even in the midst of pain. May we live in solidarity with those who are suffering, even though it will open us up to truths which will challenge us and which are awkward to hold. Amen.